First of all, I would like to thank you all for being here and advise you that it will be a much more standard, old-style microbiology work, since that kind of work that has been done since 1880 or something like that, but that still has potential to help. In this case in particular, this is a PhD work for the third author, of which I was the advisor. The poor guy suffered with me for 4 years on that. The first point is that legume forages are an underexploited access in Brazil. Brazil is one of the largest cattle producers in the world, and probably one of the few ones, the large commercial producers, that can say that most of the cattle is mostly or almost exclusively pasture-fed. We have some grain termination of animals in Brazil, but that's not a major part of it. On the other hand, that leads, of course, to pastures being a large area in Brazil. Those numbers vary from source to source, but a commonly used number is 172 million hectares in Brazil. And since it's not economically feasible to use nitrogen fertilizer due to costs, which has ecological advantages to that, we have a good proportion of those areas under some kind of degradation. Basically meaning they're underfed with nitrogen, and that leads to a decline in the pasture, and possible even erosion and loss of the pasture. Why don't we use legumes to that, since in the US Northeast or in Europe, legume forages are so largely used for that? The main problem is that our pastures are C4 grasses, and they grow faster and more efficiently in water and sun than the C3 legumes. That leads to major problems in the consortium measurement. How to keep both or more species healthy and producing at the same time. But still, that's one point that we have to look at. The species I've decided to use on the research is less appealing, let's put it this way, to the cattle. They don't like it. I never asked one, I never did a census and, okay, why don't you like calopo? But they don't like it, which means it's not as fed upon as the grass, and it has an advantage that compensates at least partially the C3, C4 problem they have. In Brazil, and that's particular to Brazil, to use an inoculant, we have to use a nationally mandated strain for each species. Each inoculant producer cannot just go there and choose his own species, his own strain to inoculate. It has to be Brazilian federally mandated species based on research. So we have in two different areas to approach. First, as in any inoculation, we don't know what population we have, how large it is, and how efficient it is, which makes inoculating is a good way for the producer to be sure of what he's putting on there. It may not be the best one, but it's known. The one that's on the soil may be even better, may have a higher population, but he may be unlucky and get one soil that doesn't have a good strain already on it or that has low population. So it's good to inoculate, but for that we need to have a recommended strain. And we know there is a large efficiency variation. You have strains really highly efficient and really low efficiency. Like any biological population, you have the full gamut. Most of them would be midway, but you have both extremes. And you want to get the ones more efficient, just since you are selecting them for that. It is also well known for as many species as there is research, there is a large effect of plant cover, soil type, soil management on the efficiency. What we decided to see is that if we could find that for this forage legume, which is not known, And we had a special situation there. This past, this field where we did the work is a research station, I'll get to that soon, but has the a single soil type with three largely contrasting covers for a long time. So we can see, we can separate the effect soil type from soil plant cover, which is not commonly easy to see. And I am using an approach that finds, that thinks, and we are trying to see if that's true, that finding new strains is, should be considered to be a largely or a process very close to conventional plant breeding. You have to generate a lot of material to be able to get a few better ones, and not the approach that's been more used. You find 10, 50, 20 strains and do a whole lot of genetical analysis on that to see how they are different. We used a field station from one of our partners, which is on 8 degrees south. It's a tropical climate, dry summers. Yearly rainfall about ranges quite a bit, but the average is 1200 millimeters. Yearly temperature 24 C, ranging from very cold 20 C, 22 C. We are always, we are looking for the sweaters and jackets at that time, and up to 26, 28 degrees, and that's a really hot day there. It's an agri soil, for those that are familiar to the Brazilian system, with the Brazilian system. It would be argy soil, sandy clay loam, acid but not too much, is moderately acid, about 5 and so pH. Low fertility, of course, not too much aluminium, not too many problems, physically sound, deep soil. And in that research station, I used 9 different areas for the sampling. 3 each of an Atlantic forest, which is a native type of plant cover in that region, a semi-deciduous large leaf forest, signal grass pastures with some degradation. They were usable, they weren't completely degraded, but they were not at the height of the production, about 30 years old, and some legume plots with about 15 years old. That's a shrub tree legume native to Brazil. The study started with isolation, standard system, take up the soil samples. I think it were 20 soil samples from each place, pull them, separate them again. Not the pull the 3 different areas, we had 9 composite samples. Put on Leonard jars, 50 days. At the end, 4 to 5 nodules per plant. Isolate, standard phenotopical characterization. Those oldies but goldies. And 122 isolates were sent to efficiency evaluation under sterile conditions, using some controls with 0 to 200 kilos of NAND per hectare equivalent on a plant volume basis, soil volume basis. Of those, 25 were tested on unsterile soil. We obtained close to 1600 isolates with that distribution for pastures, sabia woodlots, and Atlantic forest. A slightly lower population from Atlantic forest, which is about to be expected. It's a stable system, shouldn't be fixing too much nitrogen. 398, I should have put just 400, but let's say close to the data. Groups at 100% similarity, phenotypical similarity. I didn't do yet any genotypical analysis on that. It's just standard phenotypical system. 160 from the signal grass pastures, 257 from sabia woodlots, and a lot lower diversity on Atlantic forest. Only 77 100% groups. There's an overlap. If you add up the groups, you see that gets to more than 398 because a lot of groups were present in more than one different system. Over 90% of those are fast growers, defined as growing in less than 3 days on the medium. Most acidified the culture media, but the one that's currently recommended for Brazil is a slow grower and alkali producer strain. On the diversity side, we use it again, standard stuff, Shannon Weaver, and those most PLO and those currently commonly used diversity and stability indexes. We found a significant Shannon Weaver difference between them. The values are in the same order. The Gomes pasture, signal grass pasture, Sabiá, Atlantic Forest. You see that there's a difference between the two extremes, and the pasture is on the midway between them, non-significant from each other. The remaining diversity indexes were not significant. A principal component analysis did not show any clear soil characteristic that could point to what caused the difference between the soils, to a point that we would need 5 principal components to explain 80% of the diversity, 80% of the variability, sorry. And there was no clear linkage between the groups formed and soil cover. We found that there was an effect of soil cover and diversity, but we couldn't find how, just that there was. We couldn't link it. This soil has more that type, and that soil has more that type. Just found that there were differences on that. That's on the second experiment already, and that would be the Leonard Jar experiment. First, we can see quite clearly, or at least I can see quite clearly, since I've used a lot more of these data than you can see, that there is a declining effect of nitrogen over a certain level. The efficiency starts to go down. So for this crop, under those conditions, and those are not field representative conditions, all the way away from that, in fact, 100 to 150 would be the maximum that would go after that. You would just get declining standard increase in nitrogen concentration, as usually happens with that kind of stuff. We did, of those 122 strains, we did a Scott Knott test, grouped them. Those are the average per soil cover. You can easily see that SP, which would be the woodlot, Sabiá woodlot, have most of the more efficient isolates in each group always go on with that strain, with that source, which is not hard to understand, since we are taking from a legume area, an area that's covered with legumes, and those are on the same old style cross inoculation group. Mimosa and Calpogonium can cross inoculate. With the highest, the strains that allowed a higher plant growth were equivalent to up to 126 kilos of N per hectare under those conditions. And the one that's currently recommended only about 5 kilos. So there is a large prospect of finding new material, even with very traditional tools. I just hate when that happens. When I have these blank. A test comparing, I just forgot the name. The numbers of efficient and inefficient strains in each side. A key square test shows There is a larger proportion of on Sabia woodlots, Sabia plantations, of efficient strains than would be expected if there were no difference between soil covers. Besides the simply larger number of strains, which was not tested. What I'm testing here is just the proportion of strains on the efficient groups in comparison with the strains in the inefficient groups. Again, showing that, as should be expected, there is an effect of soil cover over bacterial population, size and efficiency. This list comes from the third experiment, which is on soil, greenhouse conditions, but soil, unsterile soil, and the plants were conducted over three cuts. So cut one time, harvest plant, harvest area part, second time harvest ever. And again, we have some strains that are higher efficiency than using nitrogen. We can get up to 60 kilos of nitrogen per hectare just with standard inoculation. And the recommendation in our state is 60 kilos if you have a rainy year, which you are not sure to have. If it's not rainy, it would be a lower recommendation. As conclusions or restating the results, vegetation cover may affect efficiency. Most efficient strains could fix equivalent to 150 kilos of nitrogen per hectare on sterile substrate. The effects are higher on the second cut than on the first cut, so we should, if it's a perennial type or long type, we should not just use the first, we should give time, better saying, for the effect to show up. And even on unsterile soil, we had strains fixing up to 120 kilos of nitrogen per hectare under experimental conditions. That's about it, I think. No, acknowledgements. Those are always good. The three first are funding organizations that did it. Those are the CAPES, and CNPq are Brazil-wide, FACEP is our state, and the graduate program where the work was conducted. And that's it now.